Well, Sherry, I am not a highly creative person, but I love creative people.
Okay, well, you know, I am going to contradict you because I think you're a very creative person. Oh. I've been to your house. I've written a book with you. We've done over 200 episodes of Grit and Grace together. So I'm not going to let you get away with that. Why do you say you're not creative?
Well, maybe I think of creative in terms of the arts a lot. And so since I'm not artistic in that way, maybe I kind of put it too much in a box. But who are some of the most creative people that you know?
Well, I'll be honest. When I think of creative people, I think of visual artists like our friend Sarah Marie Sonata, who does an amazing job with our graphics and does some of those beautiful illustrations that I've ever seen. And my daughter, Anne Marie, who has been doodling and lettering things ever since she could hold a pen.
Yes.
How about you? Who are some of the most creative people you know?
Well, I think about our friend Kathy Lipp.
Yes.
I mean, she's a dreamer.
Yes.
I think that goes along with it too, visionaries. But we have one of our creative friends on with us today. Her name is Christy, and Christy is the Speaker Relations Director with Compassion International, and she is sharing with us today some creative ideas for Christmas giving. Christy, we are so happy to have you with us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, so this is a busy season, but we want to talk about one of the great passions of your life, which is Compassion International. So tell us about your connection with Compassion and what you do and why you do it.
Yeah, I got connected when I married my husband and I learned about poverty. Like poverty all of a sudden became really personal to me because my father-in-law happens to find himself living in extreme poverty. So it was in that experience that we were looking for an organization we could really trust with our resources to support what we decided we wanted to do was to support children, because that's one of my passions as well as kids. And so we knew that if we could get to kids at the beginning, we could change the whole trajectory of someone's life. And so we did our research. David is good at researching absolutely everything before we do anything. And so we found that Compassion, that we had heard of before, but had never really participated, was really the very best at doing child development in the developing world. And so we sponsored a few kids in India and got really passionate about it. And then I began speaking more out in the world and decided that I would like to bring those kids with me, the kids that are available and waiting, not my actual sponsored children. They get to stay with their families. But I brought actual child packets with me to my events for about 3 years, at which point I just grew so passionate about Compassion that other Compassion employees were like, why aren't you on staff? And I'm like, I don't know. But anyways, and then time came and now I work with all the communicators. Like our team works with communicators like yourselves who have people that trust them. And then we equip them with the opportunity to bring more and more kids into these life-saving relationships with a sponsor. And so it's just my greatest joy. I love what I get to do. It's not something I went to college for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's how God works in our lives, right? It's just winding that road and here you are. So yeah.
Well, I'm like you. I mean, this advocacy just comes naturally because when you see the work that Compassion does, it's so amazing that such a big percentage of that $38 goes directly towards the children.
Yes.
Instead of administrative fees, there's so much accountability. When I was in Ecuador, the project managers at the churches would open up their books and show us all their accountability. And so that every dollar makes a difference. It really, really does.
It does. Well, and to that point, working for Compassion, I can tell you 3 years in, at the very beginning of my time, I expected to find the skeletons in the closet, like you do when you work at a church and you're like, it's okay, I love you anyway. I can't tell you how much I believe in this organization more now than I ever have.
Wow.
After seeing it. So I can say that. You say accountability, all that. It's so legit.
That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. This morning, though, we want to talk about the kids. And so tell us your best or favorite Compassion child story.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. It's hard to even narrow it down, but I was thinking about this. And the months before COVID hit and shut everything down, I had the opportunity to travel personally and with work more than I've ever traveled. And so I found myself last October in Nicaragua, and we were walking through this slum one day, and we happened upon this house that we were going to visit, this woman and her children. And as I walked in, her house is probably the size of, I would say, the interior of a Honda Civic.
Wow.
Maybe a little bigger, because there was a, like, probably a twin bed in there, But I mean, that's how small this house was. Smallest house I've ever been in my life. And as I walked in, I looked in her eyes. She was about probably 20, 21. She has two kids, one on the way. And her little 18-month-old was on the bed and he was laying there. And I could tell she was a little standoffish. It is a little overwhelming to have people walking into your house when that's not a normal daily occurrence, you know? And so I initially just tried to build rapport and we started talking with the translator, still working on my Spanish. And she said, "Hey, do you think my son has a fever?" To me, like woman to woman. It was this beautiful moment. And I said, hold on. So I sat down next to the bed and I felt his body. He was totally lifeless. He was just laying there on the bed and felt his body and it was burning up. And I said, Oh, yes, I think he does. And then I caught myself and I thought, oh, but she lives here in this slum. It's not like I can say, let's take him to urgent care, you know? And then she turned to me. She said, "Do you think I should take him to the doctor?" And I said, "To the clinic." And I said, "Yes, I think that would be a great idea." And as I left that house, in that moment, it was really significant for me because I realized that because that woman has a sponsor, she can ask that question. She has access to that question to say, should I take him to the doctor? Because compassion covers over 80% of all medical fees for the kids in our program. So that means that she doesn't have to worry about it getting paid for or whether she should or not. And that this little boy that I put my hand on and prayed for and connected with her, honestly, it's probably something simple that maybe amoxicillin could cure, you know, or take care of. But without that, who knows? And so I just thought, man, the power of her access to give her what she needs to take care of her kids. Every mom wants to take care of their kids. You know, that's pretty universal, but yet not every mom can. So it's just incredible to see that.
Well, and you know, this is something I talked about with Mary too, that really as a mom, when I was there, I realized that I was empowering other mothers to take care of their children.
Yes.
The way that I have without much effort here in the United States. And so that was really powerful to me that we're connecting not only with children, but with their parents. And, you know, it was interesting. I was a compassion speaker years ago, and Shauna was my contact at Compassion. And I was talking with Shauna one day about child trafficking, just as an example. And she said, you know, our culture, we get on these trends about what we care about, and trafficking is a trend. It's not just a trend. It's important. But she said, you know, there are a lot of trafficking organizations, but she said, Compassion actually fights trafficking because when parents are able to keep their children in school because of this $38 a month that we send, they are less likely to send their children out to work, which often becomes trafficking situations, whether the parents know it or not. And so, I mean, that we are empowering parents to keep their children safe and well.
Yeah, we don't want to foster dependency, right? We want to empower people out of a place of dependency, but you cannot begin to meet your needs if you're living in that state of desperation. And so I've stood in a house, I think it was just in Mexico City, actually, recently, where she said, "Yeah, we sold our older daughter." And I was like, it was so startling to hear someone say, "I sold my older daughter." But no one does that unless they're completely desperate. And so, yeah, poverty is all connected. You know, people ask me, is it human trafficking? Is it hunger? Is it HIV AIDS? Is it all? What's the problem? I'm like, answer to that question is yes.
All of the above. Yes.
It's all interconnected.
I love how you're reducing risk factors and increasing agency. Well, I know in the past as a family, we have given things for Christmas instead of tangible gifts, like we've given a goat or we've given, you know, vaccinations or stuff like that. Could you talk to us about some creative ways that we could gift a compassion sponsorship for Christmas? Like, is there a way to sign up for a sponsorship that we pay for, but we loop other people in as a gift, if that makes any sense?
Absolutely. So you can put yourself down on any sponsorship as your name with the payment information. And then you can put really anybody's name down to receive that mail, to have that relationship. And so that would be a practical way to go about it. But then I've seen a lot of creative things done. I knew a grandma, actually, who was at a speaking event I was at up in Northern California, who sponsored 9 children, all in the names of her kids. And she said, I'm not going to just give this to them and expect they're going to keep it going. I'm going to pay for this first year of sponsorship and then hope that they'll take it on the next year. But if they don't, I'll stay committed to this. And then we talked it through and she came up with the idea of getting some coloring books, some Christmas coloring books and brand new crayons so that the kids were opening something and it wasn't like, oh, one of these giving gifts, you know, kids are like, wah, wah, you know, I didn't get really a present, but to really take away some of that like feeling and help move them towards this opportunity to give. Then she did a little time, a devotion time with them to say, hey, we've just gotten a lot of things and that's wonderful. And we can celebrate that. We don't have to feel bad about that. But we need to make sure that we're blessed to be a blessing in this world. And so we need to be creative to keep things in perspective. Actually, one creative idea is World Market has these globe ornaments. They're like little globes. And I am going to give those to a few people and put a little pin where their child is in the world.
I love it.
And so it could be a cool way to make an ornament with the sponsorship.
Fantastic idea.
But this is a time when if you are able to sponsor another child, there has never been such a great need in this world. COVID-19 is absolutely, gosh, I can't even, it's emotional for me because I hear the stories and these are my friends, you know, and I know what's happening and the unemployment rates. When you are a worker who works for a day labor wage and everything's been shut down, there's a level of desperation that so many people on this planet are dealing with right now that I want to be part of that solution. And I know you do too. So I think it's just it's an incredible Christmas gift idea.
When I think about when my kids were little, they were so much more interested in playing with the box. I mean, you hear this over and over again, than the toys in it. So for those of you who are listening, think about that. And don't buy the toy. Just go to the liquor store and get a box. I don't know. Sorry about the liquor store, but you know, that's where you can get boxes really easy and free.
Yeah.
So go get a box and save the money on the toy and sponsor a child. Hey, Sherry, you want to know something exciting?
Do tell.
Well, after we talked to Christy yesterday, Barry and I actually spent the evening talking about gift giving and what we're giving our kids and our parents and all that stuff. And we gave ourselves an early gift.
What'd you do?
So, okay, full disclosure. Barry and I had sponsored kids through Compassion for years and years, but we've had a big gap. And when I was talking to Christy the other day, I thought, how can we not sponsor a child? So I brought it up to Barry and we gave ourselves the gift of sponsoring a child. And guess what?
What?
She's a girl. It's a girl.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. She is beautiful. Her name is Bernice. She lives in Togo. And Barry and I have been watching the Today Show last week and we saw a feature on foster children that were teens. And so for us, instead of sponsoring a young child, and they're so cute and irresistible, aren't they? We decided not to do that. And so we put in the parameters on the Compassion site that we wanted to sponsor a girl who had been waiting the longest. That's how we decided. She had been waiting for over 400 days, wow. Almost 450 days for a sponsor. So over a year.
Oh,
and wow. Someone that was vulnerable, like for exploitation, they have that little field there. And so we went and Bernice, she's our girl. We're so excited. She's so beautiful. And I went right away to write a letter online. So, so easy. It was such a wonderful thing.
Oh, I love it. You know, it sounds so simple with so much impact. And friends, you can do the same thing. When you choose Compassion Sponsorship, you'll release a child from poverty and you'll get a copy of our book, Exhale, for free as our gift to you. All the info you need is at gritandgracethepodcast.com/compassion. So for today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace. And give a little to a compassion child who needs it.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.